The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We're going to be in 1 John this morning. And the way to get to 1 John is to turn to Revelation and then back up a few pages. That'll get you there. The title of today's sermon is The Family Feud Christian Edition. And I want you to know that for the last couple thousand years, as long as Jesus has been around, there's been a couple of warring families. People who thought that they were the true religious people in the world, and they, you know, didn't like one another, I suppose. One family really didn't like the other family. And they both claimed to have the same family name, but they have two different fathers. And that's what's at issue here. You see, the world that we live in is a place where people all think they're religious, and everyone thinks that they are good, and everyone thinks they believe the right thing, and everyone thinks they know who and what Jesus was, and everyone thinks they're all going to heaven. Until someone comes along and says, "No, I am, not you." And thus the feud begins. What I want you to see first here is that Jesus has been manifested to us. And this is the first part of what we're looking at. Jesus has been manifested. We find Jesus in the Scriptures. He has come to us from the Lord. He's been in eternal communion with the Father in eternity past. But he has been manifested to us in his time when he was on the earth. If you'll look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete." Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for bringing Jesus into this world, showing us the light, that he could defeat sin, that he could triumph in our lives and in our hearts, that he would give us eternal life that comes from him, that we would be adopted into your family, that as Jesus is the Son of God, we would be children of God. And though we have lots of sin that brings us shame in our past, nevertheless, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. I thank you for the transaction that occurred on the cross to make that possible. I thank you for Jesus dying to atone and pay the price for our sins to make that possible. I thank you for a Father that does not cast away prodigal sons and daughters, but receives them back into the family. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing now on this message, on our lives, on this church, and may you be glorified in the fruits of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Jesus was manifested. The life was manifested in verse 2. This word manifested, it is a passive word. It means to be revealed, to be made known, to be evident or plain, or to appear. So Jesus has appeared, right? Jesus appeared the first time on earth. He was born of a virgin, lived 33 years, died on the cross. People saw him. He appeared. And then he was gone. And nobody saw him since, right? So he hasn't appeared since. But he's going to appear again one day, right? That day is coming. It is certain. Jesus has appeared. Jesus has been made manifest before us. Here's the thing. Jesus has a family name, a family title. His title is Son of God. In verse 3 it says, and with his son, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the Son of God. He is of the family of God. That's very simple, right? That's the family he belongs to. If you would like to be a child of God, you want to belong to this family, right? Here's the issue. In this world, in our culture, in our country, in our states, in our cities, in our towns, there are people who all believe that they're the children of God. And they believe different from you. They believe in a Jesus that's different from the Jesus you believe in. A Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus wouldn't say that. A Christian or a child of God wouldn't be like that, wouldn't say that, wouldn't do that. Here's what happened to Jesus. The world did not know him. You remember, you know, when Jesus came the first time, they didn't recognize him as the Son of God. I mean, they killed him after all, right? They didn't recognize him as the Son of God. If you look at chapter 1, verse 10. Oh, it's John, I'm sorry. It's the Gospel of John, verse 10. All right, chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That's condemnation. You don't know your own creator. This says Jesus was the creator. The world was made through him. And people didn't even know their own creator. And then look back in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. These things I write that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, he himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. So Jesus has fellowship with the Father because that's the Father's Son. If you want to have fellowship with Jesus, you have to walk in the light. If you don't walk in the light, you're not in fellowship with Jesus, and you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. That's pretty tough language. That sets a hard line. That the truth is not in people. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In our culture today, the tide has shifted on sin. What the Bible says is sin, now people say, do you believe this is a sin? And they say that to political figures, to celebrities. Do you believe blank is a sin? Well, the Bible clearly says so, but if you believe it, now you get called all sorts of names like bigot and you're afraid of this different people group and everything else. The tide has shifted. A culture has shifted. And things that are blatantly spoken of as sin in Scripture are now applauded in our culture. And you're so brave if you're just open and honest in front of everybody about it. You're just so brave now. And people will say, I know what God is like. I know what Jesus is like. He would never condemn this. And neither should you. And here's the problem. They believe they belong to the family of God. But if they believe contrary to what the Scripture says, and they live contrary to what the Scripture says, and they believe in a Jesus contrary to what the Scripture teaches us, they don't belong to the family of God. Now, they may carry around the name. They adopt the name for themselves. But they don't belong to the same family Jesus belongs to. No. So what family do they belong to? Well, Jesus has been revealed once, right? Well, these other folks have been revealed. Their true identity has been revealed to us. The problem is they don't know who they are. Their true identity has been revealed to us, Christians. The problem is they don't know who they are. They think that they are Christians. They think they're the children of God. They think they're believers. They think they're saved. They think they're going to heaven. They think it got it all right. They think that they're the best people in the world. And they have no idea what they truly are, but you do. And here's how you can know exactly who and what they are. They have a family title. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, 18. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. So what does 1 John, what does John call them here? Many Antichrists. Verse 19, they went out from us, but were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown, or they would be revealed, that they all are not of us. So, people who leave the group of believers, maybe they grew up in church, but then they leave and now they've found a better way, a more enlightened way than you country folks have. Just country folks, believers with their Bibles and everything else. No, they're more enlightened. They've moved on from the church. They've moved on to a better church that is more inclusive than what these stricter, more judgmental churches are. They've moved on. Well, John says, yeah, of course they moved on. They weren't really part of this fold. They may be sheep, but they don't belong to this herd. That's the problem. And he says, they don't belong to Christ. They are contrary to Christ. They are anti-Christ. And there are many of them. They went out from us, for they were not really of us. They have a family crest that says, do not judge. If you look in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, do not judge, lest you be judged. Well, and then there's a whole chapter worth explaining what that means, and talking about, if you have something in your eye, you need to get that out of your eye before you go to somebody else and you try to get something out of their eyes. And by the way, if you don't even want to go to the dentist, if the dentist doesn't even have clear vision, you don't want them getting that going all in your mouth. You can't even see what he's looking at, or somebody messing with your eyeballs and they have junk in their eyes. You wouldn't want that. But listen, just think of the logic here. Somebody has to be able to judge himself rightly enough to get the plank out of his own eye, doesn't he? Yeah. And then, after judging himself rightly, then what do you do? Allow everybody else to walk with a speck in their eyes? Not what Jesus says. You have to judge enough, make an estimation about something, make an evaluation about something in order to see that there's at least a speck in somebody else's eye and help them. But the world we live in today strikes out every word after do not judge. That's their family crest. Do not judge. What I'm doing with my life, do not judge. Who I'm living with, do not judge. Who I marry, do not judge. How I live my life, what I consume, the way I act, the places I go, do not judge, do not judge, do not judge. Here's how they're recognized. In chapter 3, verse 8. Let's start in verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. So you're getting the idea here. There are two families, and Jesus belongs to one. Both families call themselves Christian. Jesus actually belongs to one. He's part of one. And there's another one that someone else belongs to. If you practice righteousness, you belong to the one who the righteous judge belongs to. If you practice sin, you belong to the family that the sinner belongs to. Chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, whenever you read through 1 John, now I've read this through this many times, and I've wondered, what is the particular sin? Is it any particular sin, or is it just sin in general? Here's the issue. He says in verse 26, he says that the issue is deception, is lying. This is the big issue. And that the devil himself in John, in the Gospel of John, he says the devil has been a liar from the beginning. And this is the family that they belong to, the family of liars. This is the particular sin. And the people who walk out, they believe the lie. And John is concerned that this church in Ephesus is going to believe the lies. And that's the problem. So they practice sin, they practice lawlessness, and they even put people to the test. Do you believe blank is a sin? So if you got on Twitter yesterday, you might have noticed that fake Christian was trending as a hashtag on there. And by the way, if you get a hashtag trending on Twitter, you've really accomplished something. Let me tell you what. But it was about Mike Pence. Mike Pence went to Texas and he visited one of the facilities where they're detaining people who've come over the border. And so, there's a lot of people there. There was a place that's it's set up for 1,000 people, and 800 people were there. It's crowded, big time. So he goes there and he inspects everything and he praises the people who are working there for doing a good job. And man, everybody on Twitter just unloads on Mike Pence for being a fake Christian for doing this. Oh, they unload on him big time. So how could he possibly sit there and look at these people and not want them to come into this country? He's a fake Christian. If he was a real Christian, he would let everyone come on into this country. And that's the big issue in their minds, that you can't be a Christian unless you believe with our according to our political views. Right? Well, in the midst of all this, people have also been bringing back up an article that was written in the USA Today back in January. Apparently, Lady Gaga was in the middle of one of her concerts, in the middle of one of her songs, and she slams Mike Pence. Or at least that's the title, Lady Gaga Slams Mike Pence. The issue with Mike Pence now this time is that his wife took a job teaching children at a Christian school and teaching them art. This is the big issue. Oh, this is the terrible issue now. So here's what she had to say. The school, by the way, if you don't live a Christian life, or you don't at least try, then they won't let you stay at the school. How dare they? How dare they expect there to be any standards among the students there and among their parents? So Karen Pence, she has a new teaching position at the private school, and it's actually one that she's worked at for 12 years previously. So in the middle of Lady Gaga's song, she says to Mike Pence, who thinks that it's acceptable for his wife to work at a school that bans LGBTQ, you're wrong. You're the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. You hear that? Wife working at a Christian school teaching art to 12-year-olds. You're the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. And then she says, I am a Christian woman. And what I do know about Christianity, or at least she confesses some ignorance about it, is that we bear no prejudice and everybody is welcome. So you can take all that disgrace, Mr. Pence, and look yourself in the mirror and you'll find it right there. She said that during the concert, and if you watch the video, the crowd erupts in applause, and they loved it. Loved every bit of it. And of course, one of her most popular songs is Born This Way. That's her thing. Everywhere she goes, that's her platform. And if you're not on board with that platform, you're the worst possible representation of what a Christian could possibly be. So, by the way, who even asked Lady Gaga's opinion on that matter? It's like, no one cares other than people who are there already. She volunteers it during the concert to a crowd of people. They love it. It's not like ABC News was searching for this great pop theologian of the last decade. It's not like NBC News came on and said, tonight we search for answers in the aftermath of another Trump administration scandal. One critics are scathingly referring to as not illegal. You know, it's not illegal to teach children somewhere. Karen Pence, wife of Vice President Mike Pence, has announced that she will be resuming her position at a Christian school teaching art to children. For further explanation of this shocking news, and it's hard to wrap your mind around the kind of audacity from the Second Lady, we now turn to pop theologian and self-proclaimed Christian Lady Gaga. Gaga, how do we make sense of what's recently happened? Well, I'm a Christian woman. And what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice and everybody is welcome. So let's get rid of Mike Pence. Everybody's welcome. So let's get rid of Mike Pence. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. There's no darkness at all. There's no changing of views. It's not like, you know, people these days are finally catching on that God changed his mind these last 2,000 years. That's not what happened. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our righteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, and that is what people are doing, and not even stopping there. But if you say that sin is sin, then you sin in their minds. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, there are two families that call themselves Christian. And one of them reads the truth and just says, I believe it. And the other lies about it and says that truth is sin. Which family do they belong to? Chapter 3, verse 6. No one who abides in him sins. That means deceives, lies. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure you do not, that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And look at verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of whom? The devil. That's who their patriarch really is. And these are harsh words from John. But it's the scripture. It's the truth. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. He's the worst kind of Christian. One day Jesus is coming back, and he shall be revealed again. If you look at chapter 2, verse 28, now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him at his coming, at his appearance. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. He shall be revealed. Don't be ashamed. I hope you're not ashamed the day that he comes back. I hope you don't get humiliated the day he comes back. You think that you're a Christian and you say you believe these certain things and you have this morality that comes from TV and radio. And say, I lived my life as a good man and a good woman according to everything I heard on TV and radio and read in the newspaper and read on the internet. Humiliated and shamed at the reappearance of the Son of God. That's exactly what's going to happen. He is righteous, and everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. And finally, we shall be revealed. So Jesus was revealed once in His first coming, the first advent of Christ. And then the people who call themselves Christians but are actually the sons and daughters of the devil, they have been made, they've been revealed to Christians. You ought to be able to recognize the real fake Christians. You ought to be able to realize that. Jesus is coming back to be revealed again. And finally, we will be revealed. And it will become evident. The sons and daughters of God, this family of Christians, will be revealed to that other family of so-called Christians who think that they are the religious people. And then whenever Jesus does return, they're going to go, and realize this family of Christians over here belong to God and they're not part of it. The ones they've been trying to put pass laws against, humiliate on Twitter, call people fake Christian, call people the worst kind of Christian there is, call people judgmental. That's the worst possible thing that they can be. It's on their family crest, by the way. And Jesus comes back, and they will be horrified, not just to see Jesus. They might think in that moment that things are great. But when they see themselves separated, and Jesus belongs with this group over here, they're going to be horrified. So what if people don't like you today? What if people call you names like fake Christian or judgmental for having the audacity to believe what the Bible actually says? What if they call you mean? What if they call you a bully? What if they call you a backwoods fundamentalist? It doesn't matter what they call you. We shall be called the children of God. Jesus said to His own brothers, "The world cannot hate you, but it can hate Me." In John 7, verse 7. The world doesn't hate each other. This group over here only hates the real Christians. The world hates you, Jesus said, because it hated Me first. If you belong to the family that Jesus is in, Jesus is Son of God, and now you are child of God, if you belong to the family, this whole category of authentic Christians is hated. And it shouldn't surprise you. Jesus said, hey, if you belong to the Father, you're going to be hated. If you belong to the devil, people don't hate you. You make them feel good. The world did not know Jesus. Therefore, the world does not know us, but we shall be revealed on that day. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. You see that? That is an amazing verse. That rebels who had the audacity to know and believe that there was a God who created the universe and everything in the universe does exactly what He says to do, except for man who says no. These people, God will call them children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We're going to be something. When Jesus appears, we will appear. We will be revealed. When Jesus is manifest the second time, we will be manifest. It has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And here's the point of it. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. If you try to live a righteous life like Jesus, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe the Word of God, if you try to conform your life to God's standard, if you try to belong to His family according to the rules that He sets, and people hate you for it, it might feel bad in the moment. I'm sure it doesn't feel good for Mike Pence that hundreds of people are calling him, or maybe, I don't know how many, are calling him fake Christian. And I don't know if he's a real Christian or not, or if I'm just seeing what's broadcast on TV. But if someone calls me fake Christian, or you fake Christian, or the worst kind of Christian there is, that may hurt in the moment. But rejoice. It is merely a testimony that you belong to the one who is called fake Savior, fake Son, fake Lord, fake Christ, fake Messiah, fake hero, fake teacher, fake rabbi. If the world hated Him, it will hate you. But rejoice. That's merely evidence that you belong to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, this country's changing. The tide is changing. It used to be that even lost people had respect for the church, or had respect for ministers, had respect, or at least pretended to be Christian themselves. That's all changed. But Lord, you are good, and your name is powerful. Your reputation extends throughout the earth. Lord, may you be glorified. Father, if people hate us, Lord, I pray we would group together and find strength in one another's comfort, and find that in the fellowship of believers, we stand in the light. And in that light, in the truth that calls sin, sin, that calls righteousness, righteousness, that calls God, God, in that light, in that fellowship, we are there with Jesus Christ in our midst. And we will be found and revealed one day to the humiliation of those who try to humiliate us, that we are the children of God. I thank you for your justice. I pray that you give this country more time. I pray for your revival in this nation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you are not sure that you actually belong to the real family of God, today's the day to make sure. If you've been living your life as a religious person, you get all your morals from the people you know, not from Scripture. You get your morality from TV, from movies, from music, from books, whatever it is. You think you're a good person, you gotta be going to heaven, right? But do you really know Jesus Christ? You see, the problem with the family that's lost is they don't really know Jesus Christ, even though they think they do, even though they imagine this fake Jesus. Do you really know Jesus Christ? Because Jesus says there's going to be a day when people will say, oh, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We did all these good things in your name. And then Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. The best way that you can know that Jesus knows you is for you to know him. So I ask you one more time, do you really know Jesus as family? If you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ today, I ask everybody to bow your head and pray for a moment. If you know Jesus Christ, pray for everybody else. But if this is you, you don't really know that you know Jesus, ask him to come into your heart today. Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone in this room that you will show us where we stand with you. Lord Jesus, we are all sinners. For you have said so, and if it wasn't true, you'd be a liar. We are all sinners. Lord, please forgive us of our sins that we've committed against you. Forgive us of our sins. And help us to repent, to turn away, to walk a different path, to live a different life according to your word and your commandments. Be Lord and King and Master over my life from this point forevermore. And may I walk in the path that you set before me. Heavenly Father, please secure my soul for your eternity in heaven. May I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed a prayer like that for the first time today, you confess your sins, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to know something. Even though we're all rebels, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he will save you on the day that he returns. Let's all stand together as we sing.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.